Adventures in Odyssey.
BTV!
Hi, and welcome to BTV. I'm Connie Kendall, and today we're in the top secret lair of that masked man of mystery, the mere mention of whose name strikes fear in the heart of criminals, Wombat Man.
Good evening, citizen. It is I, Wombat Man.
Tell me, why did you model your secret identity after the wombat?
They are the most terrifying of all rodents.
Really? You don't think they're kind of cute?
Cute! Short, stubby ears, itty-bitty paws, and soft, fluffy fur. Your idea of cute?
Yeah.
Wombat computer! Are wombats cute?
Processing. Yes, wombats are cute.
Never mind. You came here to talk about revenge, not how terrifying wombats are.
Right. Our show today is about revenge. What is it? Why do people do it? Is it good? Is it bad?
You came to the right place. I've dealt with many supervillains bent on revenge, and I can tell you this, kids. Revenge is always bad. Don't do it.
Is that all?
Please don't do it!
Well, I think everyone knows revenge is bad, but we're doing a show about revenge here, so for the viewers, maybe an expert in dealing with revenge, like yourself, could say more than revenge is bad.
Well...
Alert! Alert!
The wombat signal! The city needs me. I'll get the grappling
anyway,
gun.
Anyway, we'll explore revenge from all angles and see why it's actually a bad thing when BTV returns right after this.
Chipmunk boy probably took it out for a joyride again.
First, I want to thank you both for choosing the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe for your mediation needs. We are here to serve you. Let's begin. You two have been fighting like, well, you know. Whiskers, why don't you explain what happened?
Ow.
You say you didn't start this confrontation.
Wow.
Ah, and Baxter. Ah, you say you were provoked when Whiskers took your sunny spot on the couch. Let's keep it civil. Whiskers, you say Baxter retaliated by drooling all over your ball of yarn?
Wow.
Which is why Whiskers demolished your doggy house with a bulldozer. Ah, forgive me, a tank. I see. And Whiskers, you say that's when Baxter called in an airstrike on your kitty box. And the airstrike also destroyed the sunny spot on the couch along with the rest of the couch and the entire neighborhood. Now, we won't have that kind of language here. Oh no. Whoa, that kitty!
You're about to enter a dimension where time and space work backwards. As you pass through the door of imagination and step over the threshold of rationality, be sure to wipe your feet on the doormat of probable cause. You've just sashayed into the what-if zone. The year? A long time ago. The place? Egypt. Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob, sold into slavery by his older brothers, has risen to second in command of the mighty Egyptian Empire, and the very brothers who sold him into slavery are now at Joseph's mercy.
Brothers, what is this?
Oh, Joseph, have mercy on us for the horrible things we did to you.
For mocking your dreams.
For selling you into slavery.
For wearing your coat when you weren't around.
Oh, my brothers, fear not. What you meant for evil, God has turned to good. I will take care of you and your children.
Oh.
It's okay. It's my pleasure.
A beautiful tale of forgiveness. But what if Joseph had not forgiven his brothers? What if instead he took revenge?
Oh, Joseph, have mercy on us for the horrible things we did to you.
Oh, my brothers.
You think this makes things right? I spent 10 years in prison because of you. You threw me down a well and told Dad I had been eaten by wild beasts. You wore my coat. Who does that? You expect me to just forgive you?
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Please.
Guards, throw these pretenders into the dungeon.
Eventually, Joseph forced his brothers to work on the Great Pyramids of Giza. But they were very poor architects, and the pyramids became cubes instead. The space aliens who had commanded Pharaoh to build the pyramids were displeased. So they shot a laser at Earth,
and the whole world exploded.
So goes another tale from the What If Zone.
And now, Now, BTV presents The Count of the Monte Cristo.
A long time ago, there was a happy kingdom, and everyone in that kingdom loved sandwiches.
Oh, boy, do I love sandwiches!
In that kingdom lived a happy sandwich maker who ran a happy sandwich shop.
Okay, grilled cheese on rye, no crust. Thanks for coming to Edmund Sandwich Emporium.
His name was Edmund Dantes, and he was happy making sandwiches. He was also happy because he was engaged to marry the love of his life, Mercedes.
Hello, Edmund, darling.
Oh, Mercedes, you are like no other. Hey, check this out. I've been working on this sandwich recipe for years. I call it ham and cheese.
Is that all?
Well, so far, still need something.
Oh, my Edmund, you'll figure it out. We'll figure it out together. We're going to be so happy.
Unfortunately, in another part of the kingdom, Ferdinand of Ferdinand's Fabulous Falafels had become jealous of Edmund's happiness.
Oh, how I loathe that Edmund Dantes. Everyone likes his sandwiches more than mine.
One day, the king said,
Edmund, I want you to come to the palace to be my royal sandwich maker.
Okie dokie, king.
You will make sandwiches for me and have wealth and riches beyond your wildest dreams.
Okay.
This made Ferdinand furious.
Oh, I can't believe it. I wanted wealth and riches beyond my wildest dreams.
So, Ferdinand hatched a plot. But at that time, the king was at war with another kingdom, a sandwich war.
More violence along the front as enemy troops cross the border and seize precious supplies of ammunition and mayonnaise.
And when the ambassador of the enemy nation met with the king...
Look, your majesty, you can't win this war. Be a hero. Just tell me the recipe to tuna on toast. Our spies already know about the toast. It's only a matter of time before we figure out the rest.
We will never give up our nation's most cherished recipe.
Ferdinand saw his opportunity. As the foreign ambassador was leaving the castle...
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. You want the secret recipe to tuna on toast?
Didn't you hear last scene? Yes, I want it.
Well, here it is.
Tuna. Secret ingredient is tuna. I never would have figured that out. Hey, isn't it treason for you to give me secret recipe?
Why, yes, it certainly is. Oh, and don't forget, my name is Edmund Dantes.
Dantes.
Yes, Edmund Dantes.
Gesundheit.
You're welcome.
The next day...
Newsflash, the war is over and we lost. The ambassador for the enemy kingdom made a statement earlier today saying, thanks a bunch to Edmund Dantes for committing treason and giving me your recipe for tuna on toast.
As punishment for Edmund's alleged crime, the king banished him for life to a remote prison island, forever away from his beloved Mercedes.
For you, my love.
Thanks, but it's for life.
Oh.
Okay, so we've seen how revenge can be messy, but when someone wrongs you, why shouldn't you want to get back at them? What makes revenge bad?
Alert! Alert!
Who says revenge is bad?
It's the puzzler.
That's right. And I'll have my revenge for what you did to me.
So, Mr. Puzzler, you think revenge is a good thing?
Of course it is. When someone wrongs you, it's only fair to get even.
So you consider revenge a means to justice?
Exactly.
What would you know about justice, Puzzler?
I know when I've been wronged. How's that? And I'm here to settle the score.
Do your worst.
Oh, I will. Cindy had 50 oranges. She gave some oranges to Tim and twice as many to Kathy as she gave to Philip. If Philip has 3 oranges after he ate 12, how many oranges did Cindy give to Tim?
What?
Oh, no. He's trapped me in a word problem.
How has that trapped you?
Why does Cindy have so many oranges? No one goes around with such a quantity of citrus. And why did Philip eat so many when he could have sold them on a freeway on-ramp for a tremendous profit?
You're mine, Wombat Man. All mine.
Oh, doctor, this patient needs your attention stat. Also, I'm in love with you.
Not now, Melinda. What happened?
I don't know. I tried to tell myself it could never work between us, but I...
I mean with the patient.
Oh.
Hey, Doc, my buddy here and I were working on the deck when I dropped the hammer and it knocked out his tooth.
I see. There's only one thing to do. Nurse, Pliers!
Pliers!
Hold still. Problem solved.
Ah, you just pulled out my tooth.
You knocked out your friend's tooth. I pulled out yours. A tooth for a tooth.
Yeah, but now I'm in pain.
You're both equally hurt. Next patient, nurse.
This lady lost an eye.
What happened?
We were playing Scrabble, and I spelled vacillate, and Kelly here said it wasn't a word.
It's not.
One thing led to another, and Kelly knocked out my eye.
Not to worry.
Ow! You just popped out my eye!
Now you're both missing an eye.
You're a genius, Doctor. That's why I can't stop loving you.
You didn't fix anything! I'm still missing my eye!
But don't you feel better knowing that your friend is suffering the same pain she made you suffer?
No! Now two people are hurt instead of one, you quack!
Look, which one of us has a medical degree from an online offshore university here?
Oh, Doctor, this next patient lost a leg helping his friend try on a pair of high tops.
Get me the big scissors.
You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also.
Join me again as we wade once more into the above-ground kiddie pool of enigma that is the what-if zone. The time, still a long while ago. The place, the land of Edom. Jacob has just learned that his brother Esau is marching against him with 400 armed men. Jacob brings an offering of 220 goats in hopes of assuaging his brother's wrath.
Jacob, what's with all the goats?
They are a gift. Brother, forgive me for how I tricked you.
Oh, Jacob, there's no need. All is forgiven. I missed you so much.
Another happy ending. But what if Esau had not forgiven his brother? What if he had instead sought revenge?
Brother, forgive me for how I tricked you.
You thought goats would make up for what you did to me? Goats? Like the goat whose skin you wore when you were pretending to be me and stole my father's dying blessing? Who does that? Hey, everybody! Get him!
Esau captured Jacob and forced him to wear a moth-ridden goatskin and crawl around on all fours. After several years of this vengeful treatment, Jacob learned to communicate with the goats and led a goat rebellion against Esau and, ultimately, all of humankind. Goat scientists eventually developed nuclear fission technology, but without thumbs, it was inevitable that one day a goat dropped some radioactive material and the whole world exploded. Another harrowing tale of caution from the What If Zone.
We now return to BTV's presentation of The Count of the Monte Cristo.
Poor Edmond Dantes had been framed for treason and taken away from everything and everyone he once loved.
Oh, if only I could escape from this cursed prison. I, Edmond Dantes, do swear vengeance on Ferdinand for taking everything and everyone away from me.
The happy sandwich maker's heart, once so full of love for his sweet Mercedes and savory sandwiches, was filling with bitterness and hate. But as much as Edmund fumed, there was nothing he could do. Until one day, years later...
Prisoner, here's your breakfast.
French toast again?
Quiet!
Okay. Also, every night I kind of feel the ground shake. What's up with that?
It could be because this island prison is built on an active volcano. But I wouldn't worry about that.
Okie doke.
Uh-oh.
The volcano erupted, catapulting the entire prison into the air. Edmund was hurled out into the stormy sea. He grabbed onto the only thing he could find to stay afloat.
The French toast!
Meanwhile, back at the kingdom...
This just in, the island prison Chateau Big Diff has been completely and utterly destroyed when the volcano erupted. There were no survivors.
My poor Edmund!
Mercedes mourned for years. Quite a few other fascinating things happened, but we're short on time, so let's jump ahead to one stormy night.
Who is it?
I have returned, my love.
Oh, Edmund, my Edmund! How is this possible?
Okay, for weeks I was adrift at sea with French toast until finally I washed ashore on a remote island.
Oh, Edmund.
Only one desire kept me going all those lonely years.
The desire of one day being reunited with me? Your true love?
No, the desire to get revenge on Ferdinand. And this shall be the instrument of said revenge. It's kind of heavy because it's wet.
What is it?
Oh, it's my sandwich masterpiece. It all became clear to me on the island. That sandwich I was working on years ago, ham and cheese, I now know what it was missing. French toast! Ha-ha! Ham and cheese on French toast. It's the greatest sandwich of all time. I call it the Monte Cristo after the island I washed up on. With this sandwich, I shall have my revenge on Ferdinand. Soon you will see. Soon they will all see. Baha!
Will Edmund get his revenge? And how will a sandwich help him? We'll find out when BTV continues right after this.
Welcome back to BTV, where we're talking about revenge, the gift that keeps on giving you more problems.
I can't hold on so many oranges.
Goodbye, Wombat Man.
Seriously? Tim has 5 oranges.
What? 5? Yes, I'm free.
No, no! How did you possibly escape from my word problem?
I can do math. It wasn't that hard a problem.
Excellent work, mathematical citizen. Now it's time to put this puzzle back in the box, the jail box.
Never! I will have my revenge for what you did to me, Wombat Man.
What did he do?
I wasn't always a supervillain. Oh, no. Before I was the puzzler, head of the Revengers, I was plain old Paul Hustler. I created word searches for the Metropolitanian newspaper. Then Wombat Man started sneaking into my house and turning off my alarm clock.
I was always late for work.
And they fired me!
I was protecting the city. His word searches were too hard. I could never finish them. So I had to take justice into my own wombat hands.
No! I'm flipping that script, and I'm taking justice into my hands by getting revenge on you!
Hey, don't you two think there's something more constructive you could do besides taking revenge?
No!
Is this another puzzle?
Before you embark on a journey of revenge, dig 2 graves. Please keep your hands and feet inside the hypothetical situation as once more we enter the what-if zone. The prodigal son has just returned home, having squandered his inheritance.
Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
Kill the fatted calf. Let us have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
Oh, Father.
But what if the father had not forgiven his son?
I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
Yeah, well, you got that right. Get out of here. I've got one good son, and it ain't the son that's you.
Rejected by his father, the prodigal son cried and cried, and cried so much that his tears caused ocean levels to rise, disrupting global weather patterns, knocking the Earth off its axis, and plummeting toward the sun until
the whole world exploded.
Revenge is a sinful response that repays evil with more evil. And by taking vengeance into our own hands, we may unintentionally be interfering with God's plan. And that's an even more tragic ending than being thrown in jail, leading a nation of goats, or crying an ocean of tears. Think about that next time you want to take revenge, or you just might find yourself in the what-if zone.
And now, the conclusion of The Count of the Monte Cristo.
Consumed by his desire for revenge, Edmund disguised himself as the Count of the Monte Cristo and began selling his Monte Cristo sandwiches. Everyone loved them, including the king.
As you know, Count of the Monte Cristo, my kingdom has never been the same since we lost the recipe for tuna on toast. But I have a thought. I want to make your delicious Monte Cristo sandwich the new official sandwich of my kingdom.
All right, king-a-ding-ding, but I have conditions.
Name them.
I want a lot of money.
Of course.
And I want the money to come from Ferdinand, of Ferdinand's Finest Falafels. I want you to take all of Ferdinand's money and give it to me.
Well, that's a little harsh, but if it will restore my kingdom, deal.
Okay, then I want you to bring Ferdinand to that ruined castle overlooking the sea and, like, leave him there.
Okay, but why?
Let's just say I have my reasons.
All right.
I have my reasons.
Again, skipping ahead a couple of hundred pages, and yes, there. Edmund finally confronted Ferdinand at the ruined castle overlooking the sea.
No, please.
How long I have waited for this?
No, hang on, that's too far. Back a few pages.
Okay. Oh, Ferdinand, we meet at last.
That's it.
Count, you took everything away from me. Why? What did I ever do to you?
Perhaps you'll understand when I take off this very convincing false mustache I've been wearing the whole entire time. Baha!
Edmond Dantes. The Edmond Dantes I framed years ago for treason.
One and the same, Ferdy.
You're the Count of the Monte Cristo?
I spent years plotting my revenge. I've taken everything away from you, and now you and I will duel. Choose your weapon.
This one looks pointy. I don't actually know how to sword fight, but I'll do my best and finish you off as I should have done years ago.
Unga!
Esmond instantly disarmed Ferdinand.
Rats.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that'd be more dramatic, too.
Sorry, told you I was no good at this.
I do not forgive you.
And then the whole world exploded.
Get out of here, Rod. This is my sketch.
Edmund raised his sword.
No, please.
How long I have waited for this.
What are you waiting for? Take your revenge!
Hey, don't rush me. I just said I've been waiting a long time.
Okay.
Edmund!
Mercedes!
Don't do it, Edmund!
Oh, this is all I want?
No, this is not the Edmund I once knew. He loved but two things, his sweet Mercedes and his sandwiches.
And licorice.
Look at what you've done. You've spurned me and you've used sandwiches for evil.
As he looked into Mercedes' pained eyes, full of tears, Edmund thought back on all the things he had done.
What have I become? Fool that I did not tear out my heart the day I resolved to revenge myself?
What's going on?
Now I see how twisted revenge has made me. Is there any escape from this all-consuming agony?
Forgive! Forgo vengeance and forgive! For all a man can loose, none may take away his will to forgive but himself.
Ferdinand, for everything you did to me, I forgive you.
Edmund, I don't know what to say.
Say you'll accept my forgiveness and that you will forgive me for all I have done to you.
I will, and I do.
Oh, Edmund, can we finally begin our life together?
Yes. Years after escaping from prison, it was not until I forgave that I was finally set free.
So revenge is bad because it's less about making things right and more about acting out in anger?
That's one reason, yes.
And taking justice into your own hands is no different than revenge because you're making your feelings the standard for what's right and wrong instead of allowing the justice system to take its course.
Yes. When we take revenge, things get messy. We're imperfect. Only one person is perfect, and only he can be perfectly just. Wombat Computer, Romans 12:19, please.
Processing. Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord.
If we believe that God is just, we have to believe that he's working all things out to a just end.
But if we leave vengeance to God, what do we do instead?
Another puzzle. I know this one. What's a seven-letter word for letting go of past wrongs so we can be friends again?
Oh, I know. Is it forgive?
Yes, you got that right, old chum. Well, citizen, I hope we taught you an important lesson about revenge today on BTV.
You didn't teach me anything. I taught you about revenge.
Let's just say, you never know what you'll learn here in the Wombat Cave.
You'll never know what you'll learn here in the Wombat Cave!
Oh, boy. That's all for this edition of BTV. We'll see you next time.
Same Wombat time, same Wombat channel.
Thanks, Connie, and thank you to Wit, Eugene, Wooten, Penny, Wombat Man, The Puzzler, Edmond Dantes, Rob Sirloin, and everyone else at BTV for teaching us more about revenge and forgiveness. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. BTV Revenge was written by Sam Siksiri and Aaron Chapman and directed by Phil Lawler, with sound design by Nathan Jones and music by John Campbell. Our executive producer was
Dave Arnold.
Our cast included Katie Lee, Jess Hornell, Will Ryan, Andre Stoika, Kimmy Robertson, Phil Morris, Jim Meskimen, Melissa Disney, and Phil Lawler. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.